Welcome to another week of the D-Zone Radio. My name is Evan Paputa, and I'm joined, as always, by Brandon Hunter of the D-Zone. He's the guy at most games every week. Brandon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Another day, another opportunity. Glad to be here.
That's right. Just like your Twitter says.
Yep, every day.
You know, lots of big games went on this week, and it seems like every week there's being more and more showcase games for teams where they've got to either put up or shut up, and it seems like every week teams are making statements. Well, we got a good show for you planned. We're going to recap week five as usual, and we're going to also talk about some of the lower divisions, divisions 3, 4, and 5, and talk about which teams are leading the way and having the most chances to win the state championship at Ford Field Thanksgiving weekend. And we're also going to be joined by Cass Tech quarterback, senior quarterback, and Northern Illinois commit Rodney Hall as he talks about Cass Tech's season thus far and talks a little bit about their matchup with Detroit King next week, next Saturday, for all the marbles. And we're going to preview week 6. So let's run down week 5 first. Dearborn beat Romulus 22-8. Brighton beat Grand Blanc 29th. Lake Orion beat Southfield A&T 21-14. That's a little bit of an upset. Canton beat Plymouth 21-14. Utica Eisenhower beat Romeo 16-14. And then a game you were at, Brandon, I believe, Grosse Pointe North beat South 8-4.
Right. That's weird.
Is that score right?
Yeah, 8-4. It was two Grosse Pointe South
four
on two safeties.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I've never seen that. I've never seen four in a game before. Never seen four.
No, I can't say I have either. So that was what was the environment out there, I guess, because that was a game
you
of the week, multiple places.
I've never been to a Grosse Pointe South North game, and that's a rivalry game, and I always want to go to that one. And I couldn't get a parking spot. Like, the whole town came out to see that game, and they delivered. They delivered, and North won. On a last-second fumble, it was a weird ending, like a bizarre ending. On a kickoff, so North gave South the safety on purpose, which made it 8-4. Kicked the ball off to South, and South returned the ball, and the kid fumbled, and North recovered it to end the game. So it was bizarre. It was an instant classic. I would say that.
And as we talked about last week, it was a big game for Orchard Lake St. Mary's and De La Salle, and Orchard Lake St. Mary's prevailed 14-7 in a low-scoring affair, and that really makes it difficult for Warren De La Salle to make that playoff push and get things going, because now they're sitting at 2-3, and they've got Brother Rice next week. Or no, they've got Divine Child next week, and that's a team on the road that they could lose to as well. And then they've still got CC on their schedule. So De La Salle is fighting an uphill battle moving forward. And Cass Tech beat East English Village Prep 58-18. Brandon, how was Cass Tech able to be so dominant in that game?
You know what, and I think it's as simple as this. You know, Cass Tech, it just has too much. You know, East English is a very talented team, but Cass Tech is way more talented, and they just imposed their will. Didn't have the greatest game on offense, but they didn't need to, because the defense is so stout, and that's going to be a problem for anybody. And then they make the plays on special teams, and the big play is what the bread and butter, and that's what they do it week in and week out. And it's going to take a really, really good team to beat Cass Tech. You're going to have to be really, really good.
And tell me about that defense. You tweeted out about Donovan Peoples-Jones having the pick six, and I think you said he recovered a fumble too. How was he able to be so successful?
You know what, and I don't even think he wasn't even playing safety most of the first half, but I guess towards the end of the first half, they put him in, and he caught the pick six because the kid from East English caught the ball, and he was bobbling it, and it caught in between his legs, and he kicked it up and right into Donovan's hands. And Donovan actually stood there because he said he thought the ball hit the ground. He thought it was a dead play, but no whistles were blown. And then you know you can hear Coach Wilson say run, 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 and he ran 64 yards for the touchdown. And then on the ensuing possession for East English, Delvin Washington fumbled the ball, and there was Donovan Peoples-Jones right there to pick it up, and he did a spin move and came out the pile and ran 39 yards for the fumble. So it was he scored with two touchdowns and within a couple of minutes.
And just on a little side note here, while we're talking about Cass Tech and Donovan Peoples-Jones, if you were a college coach and you could pick him or Donnie Corley to sign as a receiver, who would you sign?
You gonna put me on the spot. Mm-hmm. You gonna put me on the spot for that one.
Well, after watching the Wisconsin game this past weekend, I would take Donnie Corley just because it's proven.
You know what? I'm going to put it like this. You couldn't go wrong with either one. I'm going to put it like that because it's
true.
Tough.
That's true.
I mean, both got the size and the hands and athleticism. You couldn't go wrong with either one. You couldn't go wrong.
And also from week 5, Detroit Loyola beat Dearborn Divine Child 34-24. And then the game of the week turned out to be Detroit Catholic Central holding on to beat Brother Rice in double overtime, 28-21. Brandon, tell us about that game.
You know, it's like a tale of two halves. CC dominated the first half, 14-0, running the ball with Nicholas Capitina, tough little running back. Smashed my football, you know, CC about. And so, you know, you kind of figure that Brother Rice had no chance in this game, being dominated up front and in the run game and couldn't get much going on offense. But then they came back and scored about 21 unanswered points and took a 21-14 lead. But then Brother Rice, CC, tied up at 21, taking it to the overtime. And then that's when they prevailed.
They scored on a fourth and goal play. And Brother Rice had him on the ropes right in that first overtime.
Yep. And then CT scored on 4th and 1. I mean, like 4th and inches, something like that. And then CT scored on the first possession, the first play of the game. Austin Brown hitting Matt Young for the 10-yard touchdown. And then 4th down for Brother Rice, and they couldn't get it. Deflection, and that's how the game ended. But it was a classic. Always Brother Rice, CT. It was a classic.
So we've talked about this in the past about how the path to the state championship in Division One this year seems to go through Cass Tech. You saw both Cass Tech and CC yesterday. What kind of game do you think CC would give Cass Tech for all the marbles?
You know what? And I like talking about facts. And that game will be played outside in the cold, and it's always in CC's favor. You know, limiting possessions and a big play and controlling the clock. So if CC can do that, then of course they can win. They've done it before, you know. But if you let Cass continue to get those possessions and opportunity to score and a big play, then you will lose. But, you know, I feel like if it's outside in the cold, it would be in CC's favor. And then they played 2 years ago when it was outside. And
right,
and CC dominated. So yeah, if it's outside in the cold, it'd be in CC's favor.
And how real is that CC defense? Are they as good as advertised?
Oh yeah, of course they always are. They always are. If anything going to be good on CC, it's going to be that defense. And they're not going to give up much. They're not going to give up much.
Led by Justin Sasante.
Yeah, my guy Justin. Gotta give him a shout out.
Yeah, always. He is the guy. And then what other teams in Division One off the top of your head do you think could compete with those two teams?
You know what? You can anticipate a Forsen Cass matchup. Cass has always had Forsen's number, but Forsen has always given them a good game. So I'm interested to see that matchup in the playoff, hopefully. I'm not sure if Forsen can beat them, but they will give them a good game. Forsen just can never finish the game. They was up, what, 3? They was up 3 with under like a minute, 3 minutes to go last time they played a couple years ago. And
right.
And they gave up the game. So, you know, I want to see that matchup between those two. But I think
and then
those two are like head over heels over everybody else.
I think that would be a big game. I don't know where that would be. Depends on who would get the playoff points. But one team that could give probably Fords in trouble if they were to play in the first round in that district would be Dearborn. And then I'm guessing the other team in that district would be probably Southfield A&T because they're going to move to Division One with the combination of both schools. So I think Southfield or Dearborn would give Fordson a good game. I think Cass would be able to beat both of them. But I think Fordson's faster than people give them credit for. And then with CC, you never know. They can end up going to the western side of the state for the first couple rounds of the playoffs, and then they could play Cass Tech in the final. And one team that I like out there is Davidson. They've got running back Tariq Reed, who's really blown up. I've got to see that guy in person. But good running backs give any kind of defense trouble. So that is one to watch for. But now we're going to shift our focus to Divisions 3, 4, and 5. And if you've got a team to talk about or anything to talk about, call us up at 516-666-9985. 516-666-9985. Brandon, you want to start in Division 3 or Division 5?
We can start in Division 3.
All right, Division 3. Some teams off the top of my head, and let me know who I'm missing here. I think Chelsea's good. I think Allen Park is good. Zeeland West, as always. And Orchard Lake St. Mary's, assuming that's where they land.
Top dog in there is obviously Muskegon. Muskegon, I think it's Division Three. Muskegon's to lose. It's the end of a Division Three, and they probably should, but I think it's theirs to lose.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice to see another game between Muskegon and Orchard Lake like a couple of years ago at Ford Field? 7-0 that one was.
7-0, yep. Not much offense, but it's an exciting game. A lot of defense and a lot of college prospects on that field. But, you know, Muskegon is just that good. They can play up if they wanted to. They can play up. They're that good. And I think Division Three is theirs. But like I said, you got Chelsea right there, who gave Rouge a good game before it got rained out. Grand Rapids Christian.
I think
right with Muskegon.
Right. I think Division Three, with exception to Muskegon, and if Orchard Lake does get in with the 6-win mark, I think even if they have to play on the road, that would be dangerous. Big win over De La Salle to get the 3-2, and then they've got Brother Rice this week. But I think Orchard Lake St. Mary's would be a team that I would peg to make a run if they do get into Division Three. But I'm looking at the playoff points. If it were to be today, you're talking about one seed in a district round being Zeeland West, who had 4 more playoff points than Muskegon entering this week. Grand Rapids Christian, Edwardsburg, Battle Creek, Harper Creek, Mason, Chelsea, Warren Fitzgerald, Allen, and Allen Park. So I think with exception of those two teams, other than that, it's pretty wide open, I think. I don't think you could say this team's going to definitely make it to the semifinals and play Muskegon, or this team's going to make it to the semifinals for sure. So that's one thing I like about the lower division. You never really know what you got until November hits. But moving on to Division Four, one team that I want to talk about that I've read a lot about, and they actually have, I believe, the highest playoff point total entering this week, and that is Escanaba all the way in the Upper Peninsula. They're 4-0, beating everybody by a lot of points. That's one team in Division Four that could make a run. But one team that I'm rooting for in my head is Benton Harbor. They've got the program turnaround. They were on ESPN last year for their coach turning it around. And that's Elliot Uliak. He is their coach, former Michigan assistant and Western Michigan head coach. I'm rooting for him to turn it around. And then one sleeper team in that division, Notre Dame Prep. They obviously split from the Catholic League to do their own thing, and it's working out. They're 4-1 now. And then two other teams that would probably have to play in the district round, Country Day and River Rouge.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. But it is. They're the top of Division IV right now.
You'd think at some point as we are in 2016, Brandon, we might get some sort of seeding in the playoffs, but it doesn't appear to be anywhere near close. What do you think of that idea?
You know what? And we talked about this last year because, you know, you had so many matchups. You know, you had like take Division II. You had King playing Livonia Franklin, and that wasn't a game. You know, and King's best game was, what, probably round one, two, and three? UAD, round one and two. UAD and
Jesuit
King's
gave
Village,
him a game.
Yeah, and that was round one, I believe. So, you know, you gotta have some kind of signature at some point.
And I've talked to, and I'm sure you have too, multiple high school coaches and some athletic administration. And the one thing I always like to ask is if you were to be seeded in the playoffs and you had to play a team an hour away or 2 hours away or vice versa, they had to come here because you were the higher seed, would you want to do that? And the answer I always get is yes, it'd be funner for the kids and it'd be a better experience for us. And I think that's something they need to look into. What about Division Five? What teams are sticking out to you in Division Five, Brandon?
D5, always. Grand Rapids, West Catholic, they always at Ford Field every year. Obviously, Ithaca, always at Ford Field every year. You know, so.
And I believe Ithaca is moving up to Division Five this year from six, if I'm not mistaken.
From six, yes. Yep. So, you know, you can always count on those teams to be there. Almost a lot to be there.
And that would be a great ball game, Division Five state championship, Ithaca and Grand Rapids West Catholic. And I don't know if that could happen. I don't know how that would work out. I believe they would be on the same side, maybe even in the same district. Could you imagine that?
Exactly. But like I said, we just talked about it. You have those big matchups in the early rounds. And, you know, maybe that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah, we could debate that till tomorrow and till Monday and never end. Also in Division Five, Frankenmuth is still undefeated. They're a team that a couple people talked about last year, and they're starting to gain some momentum this year. And then lastly, we got Elginac. Ida is the one that I believe River Rouge played in the semifinals last year in Portland at 4-0. Who else are you looking to make a run in Division Five, Brandon?
Division Five, some other teams that I had noticed. You already mentioned Frankenmuth. You mentioned most of them. Lansing Catholic played in the title game.
Lansing Catholic,
year,
that's another one. Yeah,
they played in the title game last
year.
Year.
Yep.
Like I say, Frankenmuth, Montague. Yeah, they were there as well. So. You know, all those teams from up north.
Well, as we're waiting to be joined by Cash Tech quarterback and Northern Illinois commit Rodney Hall, I guess let's talk Division II a little bit, because now you're starting to get the playoff picture. I think it's clear that Lowell's going to be a semifinalist for sure. And I believe they'd play the Walled Lake Western in the semifinals, but that could be a loaded district with you're probably talking Harrison and then Rother Rice maybe. And that would be a good district. And then on the other side, you're probably talking King and a wild card team, Brandon, but who do you think could give King a run for their money in Division Two?
It's more like, besides Western and Lowell, but we know those two could.
Is there anybody in their district that might give them a good game? Not necessarily beat them, but give them a good game.
Obviously, East English Village. That's always a game. And those two play in like 2 weeks, but you're going to guarantee to see an East English Village King game. Yeah, probably what the districts or round two, something like that. I believe so.
Something like that.
East English Village. Yeah. So I could definitely count on Bulldogs to be there.
Now, one interesting thing that might come up is if you've got teams like King, Oak Park, Berkeley, Jesuit, Grosse Pointe, East English Village, and Warren Cousineau all in. Normally that would be all one district, but they couldn't be, so they'll have to split them up into
right.
other districts maybe. So that might be something to watch. But right now we're joined by Cass Tech quarterback and Northern Illinois commit Rodney Hall. Rodney, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, no problem.
Hey, Rodney, just talk about – this is Brandon Hunter. Talk about the, you know, the schedule you guys have faced. I mean, even with the first game you played, really wasn't much competition. How do you all handle that?
Every year we're pretty much used to not having competition early on, but we know we have to keep stepping up our levels as the season goes on because as season goes on, games get harder. So we try to win by as much as we can, so we're prepared to play against those other dominant teams out there.
You know, is that the reason for the slow starts? I know you had one against East English yesterday, and Coach wasn't too happy. Is that the reason for it?
Yeah, that's exactly an example of it, because East English was a better opponent than the other teams we faced, and we came out slow because, you know, we're not used to games like that with a higher level of competition. So we came out slow against them. And he just called time out, you know, and brought us all together and told us we got to pick it up because we're better than this and to a higher competition level, so we have to start picking it up.
You know, I was kind of surprised about the outcome of yesterday's game, you know, winning by that much, 40-some points, obviously. Were you guys surprised?
Yeah, we were surprised. You know, that was the goal, but I think things happened yesterday that took place that, you know, that just brought us up there because, you know, we did score, I think it was like 14 points in 2 minutes left in the second quarter. So that was a big boost.
How good is Steve Jones? Because that was just amazing. Everybody was just amazed by that. How good is he, like, overall?
He's a really good player. Like, on the team, like, we joke about it. Like, he just gets in good situations where the ball just comes to him and he's able to make a play on it. Like, the interception and the fumble is just amazing, you know.
Right. I know after the game, he broke the huddle down, and, you know, and you guys talked about next week's game, you know. How big is that, especially, you know, losing twice last year to them?
Well, that rivalry is huge, you know. It's been going on before I've been in high school, and it's just great to be a part of it because it just really brings the best out of each team and every player because you have to rise to that occasion. You have to play your best, and you don't want to lose, you know, because King coming out for winning the state championship last year, and, you know, sad to hear about their coach, what happened to their coach. They're going to want to win for their coach, and we're going to want to win because it's a rivalry too, so it's just a lot of competition, you know, it's going to take place.
You know, and do you guys enjoy having that number one target on your back? And everyone want to come for Cavs, everybody.
Oh yeah, we definitely enjoy it. I think it helps us out a lot because people don't believe in us. They don't think we should be the number one team a lot, but we work hard, and I think we're one of the hardest working teams in high school. So I think we deserve it, and we're gonna have something to show for it this year.
Yeah, I was talking about this last night about, you know, to me, Cass probably should have won 5-6 titles in a row. You know, that's how talented you guys are. So, if you don't win this year, like last year, would it be another disappointment?
It'd be a huge disappointment. You know, just playing like 4 years of high school football team. You know, the goal every year is to win the state championship. And just to graduate without one, that would just be a huge disappointment, you know.
Right. All right, we appreciate it, Rodney. Good game yesterday, and good luck this week, and good luck on Saturday, and thanks again.
All right, thank you. No problem.
Thanks. Thank you again to Rodney Hall, Cass Tech quarterback, and that is a big game coming up on this Saturday, 1 o'clock. But, Brandon, I just want to – we got some breaking news into the world. Former Michigan State – player and former Detroit Renaissance, I believe, Mylon Hicks has died in a shooting this past night in Calgary, Canada, where he was a player for the Calgary Stampeders, and our prayers are with him.
Wow, I didn't hear about that. Wow. And he played
it
at Riverside.
Just popped up right now. Yeah. That's too bad. He was a great player for Michigan State. Games to watch for in Week 6. Week 6, we've got Warren D. LaSalle, Divine Child, Birmingham Groves at Farmington Hills Harrison. That should be a good game. Clarkston at Oak Park, Grosse Pointe South at Romeo, Detroit Jesuit at St. Joseph's, Southfield A&T at West Bloomfield, and then on Saturday, Orchard Lake St. Mary's at Brother Rice, and then the big one for all the marbles, Detroit King at Cass Tech. But Brandon, one thing I want to ask you about the King Cass Tech game is, what are one or two matchups, position-wise, between the two teams that you're going to be looking for?
And this is a no-brainer. We want to see Ambry Thomas versus Donovan Peoples-Jones, and that's the one we want to see. Kevin Willis, King's running back, versus the Cass Tech linebackers, that defense. But obviously the main matchup is going to be Ambry Thomas versus Peoples-Jones. You know, are they going to be able to get him the ball with Ambry? And is Ambry going to be able to handle Peoples-Jones? You know, because he's a problem. You know, they're both a problem, I tell you that. So that's what I'm really anticipating.
And then going the other way, who's gonna be matched up with Ambry Thomas when King is on offense?
Oh, they got a couple of guys. You can put Jalen Kelly Powell on him. They're cousins, so they're family, so they know each other well. Donovan Johnson has the speed to keep up with him. So I probably wouldn't put anybody else on him, but definitely those two. Kelly Powell with the physicality, and then you can put Donovan Johnson on him with the speed to keep up with him.
And Rodney Hall gave us a really good perspective on the inside of what this game means to both teams, but you kind of think that Cass Tech kind of wants this one extra just because of how heartbreaking it was for them to lose twice last year?
Oh, well, yeah, it's a rivalry game, you know, and put everything to the side. They don't want to lose to King twice, and especially in the city title game in front of the whole city. So this is personal, and you saw that after the game when they broke the huddle down, and they took it really personal, and you know, it's King Cass. It kind of speaks for itself. But yeah, they take it really personal.
What other games on the schedule this week stick out to you, Brandon?
I want to see that Orchard Lake Brother Rice game. See if Brother, you know, Orchard Lake can keep the steam moving and get in the playoffs and see how good Brother Rice is. I haven't seen Brother Rice in a couple of years. They really impressed me last night against CC. Almost pulled the win out, so I really want to see that game.
I guess one thing we never really talked about in the first segment, we were talking more about CC. How was Rice able to be so successful, and what kept them in the game and almost gave them a chance to win? What was it?
Mariano Valenti. I like him. I've heard a lot about him, the sophomore quarterback, but he's able to keep plays alive with his feet and a nice ball, throws a really nice ball. And Marcellus Gaines, the running back, was pretty good. And I'm really in love with Matthew Jordan, the wide receiver. They got some really good pieces on offense. They just couldn't finish it off, but they had some really good pieces on offense.
So it sounds to me like they're right there. They're right on the brink. And right now it's not about winning games. It's all about winning enough to get into the playoffs, I guess, and seeing what you're going to do from there. But they've got an interesting end of their schedule here. They've got Orchard Lake St. Mary's this week, and then they've got two west side of the state teams, Stevensville Lakeshore and then Traverse City Central for the Rice Warriors, and then obviously the Catholic League Championships crossovers week 9. What do you think the ceiling for this team is? How far could they go, and do you think they could match up in a Division II regional or even district round against Wall Lake Western, Harrison, or Birmingham Groves?
They will give teams problems. I just don't see them like winning it at all. It's not the same Brother Rice team we're used to, but they will give teams problems. I can say that.
So you could see them get into the fourth quarter against teams like Wall Lake Western?
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Maybe third quarter-ish. I just don't see them beating a team like Western or King, you know, who can win it all. I just don't see Brother Rice being that team that can win it all in D2.
All right. Thank you, guys, for joining us as always. Evan Papuda and Brandon Hunter signing off for this week. We'll be back here at 11:30 next Sunday with big results on Cast Tech King game. We'll talk about that and other games that have happened.